The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. In the Parsha, in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Ches, Ki pole mimcha dover la mishpot, bein dom le dom, bein din le din, bein nega la nega, divrei riveis bishorecho. If there'll be a question brought to the people and to the Chachomim, that will be difficult to decide what the Torah law is in all facets of life. And there will be a debate, an argument, as to what the law, what the halacha is. Bekam tov alisha alamokam, ashiyivchar Hashem alakecha bay. And you shall get up and you shall go to the place which Hashem has chosen. And this is the, it is referring to the High Court, the Beis Din HaGodol, also known as the Sanhedrin. And this was in Yerushalayim, and it was on Har HaBayis. It was on the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash was. And not only on Har HaBayis, which was the outskirts, but right on the same site of the Beis HaMikdash, an area known as the Lishkas HaGozish. Uvosel HaKoinim HaLevim VeLaShefer HaShey Yiyah BaYomim HaHem. And you shall come to the Kohanim, the Levim, the judges who are there in your days, and there you shall seek out, and they shall tell you the law. And you shall do it in accordance to what they tell you. In other words, their decision is final. And you shall carefully guard what they tell you. This is a mitzvah essay, a positive commandment. In accordance to the Torah which they rule, according to the law which they tell you, you shall do leisos min adover, asher yagidu lecha yemin u'shmol, and you shall not turn away from their words to the right or to the left. This is a mitzvah leisaser, a negative commandment. So, from here we see that their decision is final, and we must abide by it. And if one does not abide by it, he transgresses a mitzvah esay and mitzvah leisaser, positive and negative commandment. Vayish asher yaseh v'zodein levilti shemaya al hakayin ha'emi l'shorishom. Now, if a person will not abide by it, it's referring not to a regular person, the Gemara tells us. It's referring to a zokin, another chochem. If there'll be another wise person, another sage, and he disagrees with their decision, and he has grounds to disagree on. It's referring to a zokin, a chochem. Nevertheless, since this was the decision of the Beis Din HaGodol, of the highest court in the land, he must also abide by it. And if he refuses to, and the Gemara explains, he goes out and he teaches, and he renders a decision contrary to that of the Beis Din HaGodol, and he is then known as a Zokein Mamre, a sage which refutes and rebels against the authority of the Sanhedrin, of the great court. Then the Torah was extremely strict with this. Umeso Ishahu. This person does it intentionally and he is warned and he still carries on to do it. He's guilty of the death penalty. Ubiyato Rom Yisrael. And we should remove evil from within Israel. All the nations shall take heed to this. Now this is one of the very fundamental laws that we have in the Torah. And the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, which I would like to quote a few halachos from the first perek, writes as follows: Bez din hagodol shebishalayim, the great court of Yerushalayim, heim ikur Torah shebal peh, they represented the Torah shebal peh, the oral law, which was the interpretation given us to Moshe Rabbeinu of the Torah shebiksav, of the written law. V'heim amudei ha'ira, and they were the pillar of instruction. U'mehem cheku mishpat yetzi l'chol Yisrael, and from them came out statutes and laws of the Torah, which went out to all of Israel. V'aleihen hivticha Torah, and the Torah relied upon them and only upon them in order to instruct and interpret the laws of the Torah to all Israel. Shinema, as it states, al pi atera she yerucha, zu mitzvesei. He quotes from what we read. In accordance to the Torah that they shall instruct you, this is a positive commandment. V'chol ha'mamin b'meishe rabbeinu v'teirosei chayiv lismech ma'asa hados aleihen lishan aleihen. And whoever believes in Meishe Rabbeinu, he is obligated, and in his Torah, he is obligated to rely his belief in the Torah upon them and upon the interpretation which they give. Someone might say, how do we know that this is the law? How do we know that this is the interpretation? So that the Torah says, we have the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu has entrusted the law, instruction, the interpretation, in the hands of the Beis Din HaGadol, of the Great Court, and you must rely on whatever they tell you. Kol mi she'eisek ha'oreison eiver b'leisaser, someone who does not do as they say, transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, leisoser mikol ha'dover asher yagidu lecha yamin u'shmal, you shall not turn to the right nor to the left of whatever they will tell you. Now the Rambam says this covers every facet of Torah. If it's what they have in tradition, in Kabbalah, ish mi pi ish, which was handed down from one generation to another, they say this is the way we received from our Rebbe. Or whether this is their interpretation in this particular question and law in accordance to their own rationale, in accordance to the structure that the Torah gave, or echadvarim shasum siag laTorah, or if it's even new things that must be enacted, like zgzeres and takonais and minhogais, they see fit that certain edicts should be enacted, that certain customs should be enacted in Israel, and they decide that this is what they must do. And all of this is the mitzvahs, asei v'leisa aser, the positive and negative commandment to abide by. Then the Rambam writes, kishohoyo bez din hagodol kaim, in the time when the Great Court existed. We do not have it now. We had it during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and again it will be in the time of the Melech HaMashiach. But in the time when it existed, they had the final authority, not only over all Israel, but over the entire world.
Jews all over the world had to abide by what they said. They had the authority over the nations of the world also, because the nations of the world were also given mitzvahs of the Torah. Rambam writes something very profound. When they existed, it was impossible that there should be a machlekes, a dispute in Israel over what the halacha was, or over what the minhag, the custom, was to be. It was impossible. There could not be two interpretations of the law or two different customs in Israel. Why? Because kol din shenelid beisofik le'echad miYisrael, because whenever there was a doubt as to what the right halacha is or what is the right custom, shel bezdin shebeirai, he would go to the bezdin in the city and ask. If they knew the answer, they would tell him, and then it would be resolved. If they didn't, then they would send a delegate, and together with the person, they would go up to Yerushalayim, and they would go to the Bezdin, which was on Har HaBayis, and they would ask there. This was a greater court. If they could answer, it would be resolved. If not, they would send a delegate together, and they would go to a higher court, Al Pesach HaAzora, which was right in front of the Azora, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. If they knew, they would give an answer. It would be resolved. If not, then they would come to the highest court in the land, which was in the Lishkos HaGozis, the Bezdin HaGodol, and they would ask. If the answer was known to all of the members of the Bezdin HaGodol had 71 judges, then they would give the answer. If they did not know the answer right away, then they would deliberate. They would study the issues, and they would debate it. Achi yaskimu kulam, until they came to a conclusion which everyone agreed to. And then they would be resolved. What happens if they could not come to a conclusion which everyone would agree to? Then, yamdu leminyan, they would take a vote. And the majority would rule. Lacher abim lahatris, the Gemara tells us, the Torah tells us. So the decision would be in accordance to the majority opinion. That decision was final. No one could refute it. And there was no higher authority in the land. And anyone who would refute it would be what we read in the Torah, the Zokein Mamre, the judge, the sage, which refused to abide by the opinion of the Beis Din HaGodol. And the punishment would be very severe. And all of Israel would have to abide by that opinion. Therefore, it was le'nimtza machlekes b'Israel. It was impossible to find a machlekes, a dispute in law in Israel during the time of the Beis Din HaGodol. This gives us a little background into the law structure of the Torah and the Great Court. Now, the Chachomim Rishayne, the early sages, who some were members of this court, they were very, very great. In general, the early sages were very, very great. The Gemara tells us, for example, in Masechet Sukkah, and Daf Chof Ches, we heard of the great Hillel HaZaken, the sage by the name of Hillel. Tana Rabbanon, Shmeinim Talmidim Hayu Lo LeHillel HaZaken. Hillel, the elder, he had 80 great disciples. Shleishim Mehen Ruim Shetishra Alein Shechina Kemesh Rabbeinu. 30 of them were fit that the Shechina, the Holy Presence, should dwell upon them, like Mesha, like Moses. Shleishim Mehen Ruim Shetamei Lahem Chamok Yeshua Ben Nun. 30 of them were fit that the sun should stop in midday, like it did for Yeshua. Esrim Beinanim. And then there were 20 who were average. Godel Shebekulan Yenis and Ben Uziel. Greatest of all of them was Yenis and Ben Uziel. Yenis and Ben Uziel, he is the one who wrote what was known as Targum Yenis. Kotten Shebekulan. Smallest of the 80 was Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, the great Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai was the leader of the generation during the time of the siege of Yerushalayim by the Romans. And he's the one who went and he negotiated with the Romans a treaty. He asked for three things. One of it was he asked for Kerem B'Yavne, that the yeshiva in Yavne, there was a great gathering of sages, that this should be spared, and so on. Omru alav al Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai. Now, Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai was the smallest of the 80. They said on Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, Shalehiniach mikro, that he did not leave over from his studies any mikro. That's the Torah Shebikshav, the written law. Mishnah. Any Mishnah, Gemara, the entire Gemara he studied, not only studied, it states he didn't leave it over, that means he exhausted it entirely. Halochais, all of the laws, Agodes, it's all of the Midrashim, Diktuke Torah, Vidiktuke Seferim. He went into the Rashi brings the droshers from the letters of the Torah. And the droshers from the Seferim. Kalim v'chamorim, v'chamurim. This is the Sfora, the rationale. Went through the entire rationale and logic of the entire Torah. Gzeira Shovesh. This is the 13 principles in which the Torah is expounded. Tekufais, all of the calculations of the moon and the sun and the stars, built on astronomy, which we calculate our times and calendars with. Gematriais, Gematriais is all different types of droshes that you make with words and letters to add them up to various numerical equations. Sichas Malachi Ashoris, the conversations of the angels. And now on these next three things, Rashi says he doesn't know what they are. The Sichas Shadim, the conversations of the devil. Sichas the Kolim, and the conversations of the trees. Misholis Kevsin, Misholis Shu'olim, the parables of the washermen or of the foxes. Dover Godel V'Dover Kotten, Dover Godel Maisa Mekova. He went through the entire Maise Markova. That is what is known as the Nister, the concealed part of the Torah. Dover Kotten advised Abai Verova, and all of the questions of Abai Verova. The Talmud Bavli is full of all of the questions of Abai and Verova that lived a long time after him. His time yet, he had gone through all of the questions that they would ask, and he resolved them all. And then Rashi says they were later forgotten. That's why Abai and Rav and the others were so stumped by them. How was it possible for a person to do this? He didn't do it himself. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, he opens up his storehouses of Torah and gives it to those of his beloved. Gemara brings in Sanhedrin on the Pasuk, Seid Hashem Lireov. Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals his Torah to those who fear him, to those who become great in Torah and in mitzvahs and in the fear of Hashem and the love of Hashem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his entire Torah to them. This was Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai, and this was the Kotan Shebekulim, the smallest of the 80 disciples of Hillel. V'chimei'ach eshe Kotan Shebekulim kach kodl shebekulim alachas kama v'kama. Now, if this was the smallest, so we can imagine then Yenis and Ben Uziel, who was the greatest. Omro alav al Yenis and Ben Uziel. They said on Yenis and Ben Uziel, B'shoa sheyeshiv ha'isik b'torah, kol eif shepeireach olav b'yam nisraf. On Yenis and Ben Uziel, they said that when he used to sit and learn Torah, if a bird would come and fly over, it would be consumed in fire. In other words, there was a fire over him when he was saying the shir. Rashi brings, because what was the fire from? He brings Shohir Malachi Ashores Miskaptin Sfivov Lishmaya Divrei Teira Mipiv. The angels would come together to hear his Torah, and these angels were fire. So any bird that would fly by would become consumed. Tosfos says a little differently. Tosfos says, when Torah was given, the words of Torah were given with fire. When he would say a shir, there was so much simcha on that shir that it became like the words that came off of Sinai. And they were fire. Therefore, a bird that would fly over would become consumed. They ask a question. This is how great Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai was, the smallest disciple. And this is how great Rabbi Yenisim ben Uziel was, who was the greatest disciple. So then, how could we describe Hillel HaZaken, who was the Rebbe? That the Gemara doesn't go into here. Other places it speaks how great Hillel HaZaken was. So this gives you an inkling of what our sages were. Another example, Gemara brings in Masechta Psochim, and of course, Beis Amid Beis. Actually, I can quote this even better from Gemara and Baba Kama, what we're learning now. And of Mem Aleph Amid Beis. Gemara says, "Irsan Yoshimen Hamsuni, the Amri La Nechemio Hamsuni, Hayadish Kol Esin Shibatora." Shimon Hamsuni, some say it was Nechemio, he used to darshan every Es Shibatora, wherever it's stated in the Torah, the word Es. Bereish is Bora Elakim, Esa Shomayim, Esa Oretz. It says in the beginning, an example, in the beginning Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Now the word, it didn't have to say Es HaShomayim and Es HaOretz. It could merely say Bereishis Bara Elokim HaShomayim VaOretz. That word didn't have to be written. But many times it is. So he would make a drosh out of it. He would expound from there that it comes to add something to the subject of that sentence. Kiven shehigia le'es Hashem elekecha tiro. There's a pasuk that we have in the Seder we just learned not long ago, Parshas Vayeschanan, which states, Es Hashem elekecha tiro. You shall fear your God. It doesn't say Hashem elekecha tiro. The Lord your God you shall fear. It says, Es Hashem elekecha tiro. What do we need the S for? So it comes as a ribui to add something. You shall fear your God, the Lord your God, and also someone else you shall fear, the same way you fear the Lord your God. When he came to that posuk, to that sentence, he was stumped. How can we include someone else in the commandment to fear Hashem? How can we share the fear of Hashem with someone else? Pirush. Once he came to that and he was stumped and he could not resolve it anymore, then not only he didn't darshan that posuk, but he retracted from all of the essin that he had darshaned. Now this is, he started at the beginning of Bereishis. This is in Devarim Perek Vav in Parshas Voschanan, which is not far from the end of the Sefer Torah. So Shimon Hamsuni was retracting from a life's work. He had spent his life expounding all the essin Sheba Torah. And now he came to one which was impossible to darshan. And he said, since this is impossible to darshan, this would be a sign that Leba Es L'Rabbis, that Es does not come to include something else. So he retracted from everything that he did. This could have been 30, 40, 50 years of work. Omru Le Talmidov, the disciple said to him, Rebbe, kol esin shedarash to matei alein? What's going to be with all of the esin that you darshan until now? He could have filled up shvori books with it. Omru lehem, kishem shekibalti iskala ala drisha, kach kibalti iskala ala prisha. He says, just like I will get reward, just like I will, you get reward for something that you expound, you also get reward when you retract from it. Because you're getting reward for coming to the truth of Torah. And this is the way you come to its truth. It's like Lahavdil in science. You come to a certain conclusion based on good, sound scientific evidence. And then years later, you discover something new, which changes the whole picture. This is how you come to the truth of things. Achibor Rebbe Akiva. Until one day Rebbe Akiva came. B'lima das Hashem elkecha tiro, the rabbis tamir hachomim. The Rebbe Akiva said, no. He said, Shimon Hamsuni is right. We can expound every S, and he does not have to retract from everything that he darshaned. So what will S come to include? S will come to include Talmidei Chachamim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you shall fear the Lord your God, and that same fear you must have for the great sages of Israel. The Meiri writes, Masechta Psochim, the same Yireh, the same fear that one is obligated to Hashem, Hashem has shared that with his sages. They are so close to him that Hashem has commanded us that the same fear that we have for him, we must have for the sages. I had a friend whose mother was an old Yushalmi. She used to say, my mama gezorgt, my mother used to say, the Rav is the Shulchan Aruch. A Rav says something that's the same as the Shulchan Aruch says something. When the Torah says something, that's Hashem. And when the great sages said something in the name of the Torah, that's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many times I've said over that my Rebbe Rav Gifter used to say on this Gemara, when he was a Bocher in Tells, Yeshivas Tells, there, one of the American Bochrim who was in Slobodka, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, a friend of theirs, of the few Americans that were in Tells in Europe, he became a Chosson. And he got married, and the Chasna was in the city of Vainuta. So the American Bochrim that knew him well, actually Rav Gifter and Rabbi Avigdor Miller were from the same city, they were from Baltimore. So the few Bochrim from Tells went and to Vainuta for the Chasana. In Vainuta, there was a Rav, a great Talmid Chacham, And his name was Rabbi Ezra Osher Altshuler. He's from the Altshuler family that came to South Africa. Many of them were Rabbonim, or Sheikhtim, or Chazonim, in many places in South Africa. That was his family. So when they were there, the Bochrim went, and they spent, they had some time there. They went over to visit the Rav. The Rav was very happy to see them. Yeshiva Bochrim from Telz and from other yeshivas. So they sat, and he told them over many things in Divrei Torah. So the Gifter used to say over three things he had learned from him. So one was on this Gemara. He asked the Kasha, why was it that Rabbi Kiva, now Rabbi Kiva darshened? Why was Rabbi Kiva now Achibor Rabbi Kiva? Now Rabbi Kiva could darshen. What S came the rabbis? She explained the Gemara that nobody had dared expound the S in that manner. Who would dare even entertain the thought that you're obligated to give someone fear, the same fear that you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a human being? So nobody dared do such a thing. And that's why everyone was silent. Nobody knew how to expound, how to darshan the S. But when Rabbi Kiva saw that Shimon HaAmsuni was prepared to spend a whole lifetime expounding and teaching what the S meant, and then in his later years retract from everything and tell his Talmidim, you should know that everything that I taught you now, that I've taught you for the last 40, 50 years, is not true. That's not Teres Moshe. That's not Torah for Meshe Rabbeinu. When Rabbi Kiva saw that, he said, the sages are not human beings. They're not plain human beings. Who can do such a thing like that? You see, the sages have reached a level of Torah's Emes, which is like the Emes, the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore he says, now I know what the S means. The rabbis, Talmidei Chachomim, that the same fear that one must have for Hashem, one must have for the Talmidei Chachomim. This is what he said on that Gemara. Here we see the level of the Chachmei Yisrael. And we see the great insight and honor that Rabbi Kiva had for the sages. Another illustration. Rabbi Kiva had a special honor for Torah and for sages. For Torah, we quoted many times, that was a Mishnah, then the Masechta Seita. But he had a special honor for sages. The Gemara brings in Ervin. And Daf Chof. Chof Aleph on the base. Boris says, Tone Rabbona, Maisa B'Rebbe Kiva, Sheyochovish B'Beisa Asurim. When Rebbe Kiva was old, and he taught Torah B'Rabim, he always taught Torah publicly, and the Romans at that time had come into Israel, and they governed the land, and they decreed that anyone that will be caught teaching Torah publicly will be put to death. And Rabbi Kiva carried on teaching. And they caught Rabbi Kiva and they threw him into a dungeon. And there was Rabbi Shua Agarsi, one of his disciples. He would come and take care of him. Every day he would bring him a certain amount of water, a little amount of water, because they won't allow, the guards won't allow him to bring more. Yomechod motzo sheme beis asurin. One day he came and the guards stopped him. Omalei hayei meimecho merubin. He says, today the water that you're bringing is more than you should be. The guard just wanted to start trouble. Shemalachto beis asurin atotzorich. He says, are you trying to bring so much water that perhaps your Rebbe can dig a hole to escape from the dungeon? Shofaf chetshen v'nosen lechetshen. He spilled out half and he gave him half back. Kishibo itzo Rebbe Kiva, when he came to Rebbe Kiva and he was later than usual because of this episode. Oma le Yeshua ina tu yedeh shezokinani. He said, Yeshua, do you not know that I'm an old man? Bechayai, tluyin bechayecho, my life is reliant on yours. Why have you come so late? Sochle kolei samura. So he told him the whole story. Omalei tenli maim shertel yodei. He says, give me the water so I can wash my hands. He wanted to wash netila shadayim lesuda. He wanted to vasach. Omalei, he said to him, lishteis ein magin. Little Yadech of Magin. He said, there's not enough water here, even to drink. So you're going to use this water to wash your hands? Omalei, he said, Ma ese, what can I do? Shechayovim aleihan miso. If someone does not keep the divrei seferim, the words of the sages, betila shadayim, the washing of the hands before the suda, that's etakono. That's an edict from our sages. That was from Shlomo HaMelech Ubez Dinai. And the Gemara says that if one doesn't keep the words of the sages, Nochash Yinashchemo, he will be bitten by a serpent. So he said, what can I do? He says, if you don't keep the words of the sages, then one is liable for the death penalty. Mutav omus misas atzmi vele ever al daskavira. It is better that I should die innocently than transgress on the words of my colleagues. Omru lei toam klum achehevile maim venotol yodov. It is said that he would not eat that whole day until they brought him water to wash his hands with. When the sages heard this, Omru, Ma bezignusei kach, biyaldusei alachas kama vakama. This is how careful he was with the words of his colleagues in his old age, so then how much more so in his youth and in his strength. Uma bebeis asurin kach, shalei bebeis asurin alachas kama vakama. And this is, if this is how careful he was in the dungeon, so how much more so outside of the dungeon? It's interesting that this was the Rebbe Kiva who the Gemara brings that until 40 years old he was an amoretz. He was an ignoramus. And not only was he an ignoramus, not only was he ignorant of Torah, but an amoretz, which means that he was contrary to Torah. And the Gemara brings at the end of the third parak in Psochim that he said on himself that he hated the Talmidei Chachamim. The Amoratzim used to hate the Talmidei Chachamim because they felt that the Talmidei Chachamim were like a higher social stratus than them, and they weren't happy with that. And the Rebbe Kiva said on himself that it used to be when I would see a Talmud Chacham, I would want to bite his back and break his bones like a donkey. Now this was at Rebbe Kiva. And this is the height Rebbe Kiva rose to, where he certainly could have found a terim taste for this. It was no problem, an old man, and in a dungeon it was no problem to eat without washing. But he says, I do not want to transgress the words of Chaverai, of my colleagues. And this is how great Rebbe Kiva was when it came to recognizing the greatness of the sages. It was perhaps for this reason we have, during the time of days between Pesach and Shavuos, the Gemara brings that the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva died, a tremendous tragedy, where they died from a plague, and it states Shelei Noagu Kovet Zeh Lazeh. They did not give honor one to the other as they should have. Maybe this was all intertwined because they hadn't learned from their Rebbe what they should have, that the Rebbe Kiva was so great in this. Now, the Gemara tells us, Im harishaynim kibnei odom, if the early sages were like men, like people, im harishaynim kemalochim, if the early sages were like angels, onik bnei odom, then we, actually the Gemara, the later sages were saying this, but still the sages of the Gemara, then ono kemalochim, ono kibnei odom, then we are like ordinary people. Im harishaynim kibnei odom, if the early sages were like people, then onu kechamerim, then we are like donkeys. This is what the later sages of the Gemara says. Velei kechamor Pinchas ben Yoyer, but not like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yoyer. Pinchas ben Yoyer had a famous donkey. That one time they tried to feed it some grain, and the proper portions of maestros was not taken from it. That has to be taken and given to the levim, and the donkey won't eat. So he says, we are like donkeys and not like the donkey of the Rebbe Pinchas ben Yoyer. So therefore, the early sages were of enormous height. The later sages also were of enormous height. The fact is, we see in every generation, when we look back, if we look back to the days of the Rishayim, the Rambam, Rashi, Tosfos, or to the days of the great Achrenim, Rabbi Kiveger, the Vilna Gaon, in every generation, we see that sages, the Talmide Chachomim, rose to great heights. But we cannot rise to the heights of the sages of the Gemara. Like the Gemara says, this was a different level altogether. But nevertheless, every generation, one is obligated to strive for the greatest heights in Torah and in wisdom and in deeds that he possibly can reach. And there is at least some reflection of that great level given to every generation. And this is what we must strive for. Every individual. Or this is what you must hope for our children to strive for. To the great heights of Torah. The wisdom of the Torah. And coming close to Hashem. Now, all of this though, placed upon such an individual, additional responsibilities in conduct. Every Jew was commanded in very high levels of personal and ethical conduct. This was commanded from and demanded from every Jew. But we find that a chacham, someone who was wise in Torah, just as he became elevated in wisdom of Torah and in the madregas, the levels of Torah, hand in hand, he must also become elevated in his personal conduct and in his ethical behavior. The Rambam brings, he devotes a special perek, a special chapter to this, in Hilchos Deos, perek hei. He writes, "Kishem shachocham niker bechochmosay ubedeya esof, vuhu muvdal behem ishar ha'om." Just as the chocham, the Talmud chocham, the sage, where it's evident who he is from his wisdom, from his great penetrating understanding of life, of Torah, and this distinguishes him from the rest of the nation. The Rambam says, but it must not end there. Kach tzorek shianikar b'maisov. So he must be distinguished from the rest of the nation. B'macholoi. In his eating habits. B'diburai. The way he speaks. B'hiluchai. The way he walks. U'b'malbushai. The way he dresses. U'b'chilkul tvorov. U'b'masai u'matnai. The way he runs his personal finances. And in his businesses that he takes care of. We call Hamasim or Elu no imu mesukoni b'yeser. In other words, this is demanded of every Jew, the Rambam is saying. Every Jew has to be a person of stature, of impeccable conduct, of integrity, and so on. But he writes, just as the chochom, the sage, is moved on, is distinguished from the rest of the nation through his wisdom and through his knowledge of Torah, so must he also be elevated and distinguished from the rest of the nation in his hanhogo, in his conduct, and in his integrity, and in his social relationships, and in his personal relationships. And then the Rambam goes through a whole chapter. And we call Amasim Elo Noim Umusukon BeYoser. All of his actions must be actions of beauty and perfection to the extreme. In other words, it's not enough that they're just nice. That's demanded. That's their heritage. That's demanded from everyone. But BeYoser. Ketzat. And then he goes through all of this in detail. We'll quote some of it. He says, for example, when a Talmud Chacham eats, he must not eat like a glutton. And he must eat only food which is healthy. You should not overeat. And you shouldn't pursue food like others pursue food, just to fill themselves up or just to satisfy their appetites. Tzadik echel l'seva nafshe. He brings from Shlomo HaMelech. King Solomon says the righteous eat merely to give themselves strength. When he eats also, he shouldn't eat in public places too much. He should eat privately. He shouldn't be seen all the time spending his time socially, socializing. If it's a Suda's mitzvah, that's something else. But merely in society, or merely eating. When he drinks, he says he must drink a little. Kol mishtake arei zecheta maguna. Im mishtake bifnei amoretz arei zechilas Hashem. He says if he drinks so much when he becomes drunk, he says this is despicable. And if he does it in the presence of those of the public, it's a chil Hashem. This is a desecration of Hashem's name. He must conduct himself with the utmost modesty, the utmost snius. Talmud Chochem leyetzeik v'tzavach b'shas diburei k'behemis v'chayis. He says, when a Talmud Chochem speaks to people, he must not scream, he must not howl. He says, like the animals. Leyagbia kele b'yeser. He should not lift his voice too much, but diburei b'nachas im kol abriyos. He must speak softly and kindly to everyone. But he should be careful not to always speak in too low of a tone, because that was the way of the gase ruach, of those that were very arrogant. When they had to speak to someone of a lower social status than themselves, they would speak at a very low tone. Magdim shalom lechol odom. He should be the first to give shalom to everyone. Kidei shetei rucha naicha imeno. He should have the type of demeanor where everyone likes him. So therefore he should be friendly, and he should give shalom to everyone first. Dones o'odom kol odom l'kafskus. He should judge every person with merit. He should look at people with a good eye. Mesape b'shvach chaveirei v'lei b'gnusei klal. He should always speak praiseworthy of people, never critical of people. Ayiv shalom v'reidiv shalom. He should love peace and pursue peace, try to make peace in the community. If he sees something or someone doing something wrong, he must tell them if they will listen. If they will not listen to him, then he should be silent. Leishana b'diburay. His word must be gold. Must never leave his word unfulfilled. Except where the Chazal, where the sages have commanded us to. For example, b'divrei sholem. It's brought that it's a mitzvah that one should, is allowed to. It's a mitzvah to lie for the sake of peace. Klol l'shel dover, he says. The principle is, ein medaber al bedivrei chokhma o begimilis chasodim mekiyetze b'hem, that when you see him speaking, he should always be speaking in words of Torah, or in words of mitzvahs, or in chesed. When he walks, he should not walk too upright, like the arrogant walk. He should not walk, but he should walk in a manner that is very beautiful and acceptable to all. He shouldn't run in the Rishus HaRabim, in the public places, k'minig ha-mishugoyim, he writes. Mishugoyim that run back and forth, he should not do that. He should look downward as he walks, and he should give the demeanor of a person who is walking very intently because he is busy doing important things. Even from the way a person walks, it is evident if he is a chocham, and a knowledgeable person, or he is a fool. And then he quotes from Shlema Melech, Malbush Talmid Chocham. The dress of a Talmud Chocham should be no'ev enoki, a beautiful dress, and clean. And he's not allowed to go out with clothing which are dirty. He shouldn't wear clothing of royalty. For example, clothing which are made of gold, and like the kings and the princes went out with, because shehakol mistaklin by, then everybody looks at him. On the other hand, he shouldn't wear malbushanim. He shouldn't wear clothing of poor people, shumavazes leifshot, which is disgraceful for the one who wears it. Ela begodim beinanim noim, but middle class clothing, which are very beautiful. Talmud Chochum should be mechalkel dvorim b'mishpot. He should live according to his means. He should spend his money, and he should be mefane, support his family, but in accordance to his means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him money. The Rambam's time, it was very, very common for the Chachomim to have their own income. They had their own businesses. The Rambam himself was a doctor. So he says, if he has a little money, then he must live according to that. If he has a lot of money, then he must spend that money. Tzivu Chachomim. The sages commanded and said, "La'elam, a person should eat adam pachus min ha'ra'ila lefi mamayne." He says he should eat the foods that he should eat should be in accordance to his means. If he's poor, he says it's enough if he eats meat mishabbos l'shabbos. Shabbos. If he has more money, he can eat meat more often. He says the Chachomim say that a person, when it comes to eating, he should eat a little below his means. Doesn't have to eat at the best restaurants, doesn't have to eat the best foods, doesn't have to drink the best wines. He should eat a little below his means. Yilbash kiroilei, when it comes to his clothing, that he should dress within his means. Not less than his means, but within his means. V'chabed ish tu uvonov, yesem in ha'ra'ila. When it comes to his wife, he should spend more than his means on his wife and his children. Where does he get more than his means? He's not supposed to spend more than he has. That will come off of what he eats less than his means.
Masu matnei shel tamid chochom be'emes be'emunah. When it comes to the businesses of a Talmud Chacham, it must be beyond all reproach. Emar alav lav al hein hein. His word must be a word. If he says no, then it must be no. If he says yes, it must be yes. Medakte kalatzmei b'cheshben v'neisin u'mavate la'acherim kishikach mehen v'leyidakte kalen. On himself, he must be exact. If the person wants a certain price, he must give him exactly that amount, not less. On himself, he must be exacting. But for others, he must be a mavater. In other words, he must give extra. If he asks a certain price, he should tell the person a little less also is good. To himself, he must be exacting. With others, he must be a mavater. If he buys something and he has the money, he must pay immediately. And he must go lifni mishuras hadin. That means, even though the din, the law does not require it, he must go extra. If there's a question as to who the money belongs to, and according to the exact of the law, he can keep it. He must now tell the other person, you keep it. And when it comes to other people's commitments to himself, he must be prepared to forego it. People owe him money, and they're having difficulty. He must prepare to forego it. He must waive it. Malve v'cheinan. He must lend people money, and he must give people money. And if he lends people money and they cannot pay him back, he must waive it. This is midas Talmud Chacham. This is not midas kol adam. See, this is not what is demanded from every person, but this is what is demanded from a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara brings a story
Who was it with? Forgot who it was with. Where one of the sages of the Gemara went and he hired Pe'alim, he hired workers to move barrels of wine. And as they were moving a barrel of wine, they broke it. And it caused them a loss. So at the end of the day, he said, "You must pay me for the barrel of wine." So they went over and complained to his colleagues on the Beis Din. So the Beis Din called them up, called them over, and he says, "These are poor workers. You cannot demand from them to pay for the wine." He said, "Kach dinai, this is the halacha." They said, "For you, you're a Talmud Chacham, for you that's the halacha." So he had to waive it. Then they wanted their wages at the end of the day. They came to him and he says, "I have to pay. You broke my wine and now you want wages." They said, "We worked the whole day and we don't have what to eat." He wouldn't pay them. So they went back to the Beis Din. So the Beis Din called them in and said, "Pay them the wages." He said, "Kach dinai, this is the halacha, this is not the halacha." They said, "For you, this is the halacha. For everyone, it's not. But you're a Talmud Chacham, you have to go further." Lo yere lesech umnes chaverei. He must be very, very careful never to take business away from someone else. Never to cause someone anguish when it comes to panosho. The klal, the principle is he should be from those who are pursued, not from those who pursue. Mina ne'alovim v'lei mina olvim. He should be from those who are insulted rather than those who insult others. V'odem she'esa kol ma'isim ha'ela. U'ki'etza behen. And when a Talmud Chacham conducts himself in this manner, then the Torah says on him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'yemer li avodai ato Yisrael asher b'cho espa'er. This is what is known as a Kiddush Hashem. He sanctifies Hashem's name. And Hashem says on him, "You are my nation, Yisrael, that I take pride in." So just as the sages were elevated from the rest of the nation through their great wisdom and knowledge in Torah, so was it Midas Talmud Chacham, the conduct of a Talmud Chacham, also to be elevated. More was expected from him than the nation. He also had to be distinguished and elevated from the nation in all of his conduct, both personal and public conduct. So this gives us some insight into the level of the sages, the level of the great court, the Beis Din HaGadol, the level of the Talmidei Chachamim, which we are all required for ourselves, for our children, to aspire to.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.